5:20, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Friday, August 7th on 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, an immersive theater performance in Soldotna invites audience members to participate in the show. But first, the Alaska Division of Elections is sending follow-up letters to most of the 3,000 voters it struck from the active voter list this summer. The division's director said the change in voter status was based, at least partly, on old driver's license data that suggested the people were not citizens, even though the Division of Elections records showed they were citizens. Often, that's because an immigrant got a driver's license as a non-citizen and later naturalized. A bipartisan group of legislators said the state's action threatened to deprive lawful citizens of their right to vote. They asked the division to restore each voter's status unless it could establish they were ineligible. The Division of Elections is not doing that. The new letter to deactivated voters, like the one the division sent last month, asks that they affirm they are a U.S. citizen. This letter, though, also informs them that they can vote a questioned ballot. Elections Director Carol Beecher wrote legislators Thursday to update them on the status of the suspected non-citizens. She says of the 3,058 people who got the original letter, about 685 affirmed their citizenship and have been moved back to the active voter list. More than 100 people reported they are not citizens and asked the division to cancel their voter registration. About 1,900 people have not responded to the original letter and remain in a status Beecher called inactive non-citizen. She said that's an administrative flag that does not prevent any eligible citizen from voting. And finally, summer reading came to a dramatic conclusion at the Soldotna Public Library last week. That's where an interactive murder mystery brought a tale inspired by the American Revolution to help attendees engage with the era in a new way. KDLL's Jake Dye saw the mystery unravel and has this story.
The Soldotna Public Library is closed, but it's still teeming with activity. Around 50 people are participating in an immersive whodunit theater performance that sends them around the building in search of a fictional murderer.
Scour the rooms, anything you find that could be of use, bring out and we'll all look at it together.
The library partnered with Kenai's Youth Theater to put on the show. Unlike a traditional play, immersive theater asks attendees to participate in the performance by interacting with characters, moving between sets, and predicting the story's resolution. This show is set during a women's rights convention, where a progressive speaker was shot to death before taking the stage.
The year is 1785, just 2 years after the Great American War has ended.
The actors aren't on a stage, but the library's fireplace acts as a sort of hub space for major narrative developments. The actors mingle with attendees, sharing hints about who they are, what they believe, and how they relate to one another. Scenes play out in the midst of the audience. People are encouraged to ask actors questions and share the clues they've gathered.
You must gossip. Once you learn something, tell as many people as possible.
There are family dynamics and other relationships at play, but it's the political discourse that drives most of the action. Some characters favor advancing equality in a new age.
Now women must take part in that equality, or we will be controlled by immature men.
Others take a more regressive stance.
I'm a firm believer that a woman has a right to be in the kitchen, a right to be in the home, and a right to take instruction from her father or her husband.
The tenor of the evening changes after the climatic scene everyone knows is coming. Now the audience is set free to identify the killer. They have to determine motive and opportunity. They look through bedrooms made up within the library study rooms. They find threatening notes hidden in a vanity and coded messages in art. They work to decipher the clues alongside the characters in the show, frighteningly aware that one of those characters is a murderer. Was this young woman killed for her outspoken political beliefs? At the end of the night, the attendees cast ballots to identify who they think is the culprit. Soldotna High School student Lucia Machicki wrote and directed the show. She says it's a challenge to write and to perform because actors are engaging with an audience who don't follow a script.
it's mostly improv, so anything can happen, as you probably saw. I wrote it, but you can only write so much, because there's so much, like, variable that can happen.
Key scenes and sequences are scripted, but the show is otherwise fluid. Machicki says she had to craft clues for people to catch on to and red herrings to mislead them. When audience guesses got ahead of the plan, she says parts of the script were abandoned.
The really hard part was making it so it was only possible that one person could have done it. Because anyone realistically could have.
The evening culminates in a fittingly over-the-top series of reveals. Several characters are accused of murder, with clues pointing in their direction. A young woman is found with the victim's necklace in her purse. But she didn't kill her.
I saw the necklace and I thought it would be of no more use to her, so I nicked it.
A columnist penned threatening letters, but that doesn't prove malice.
I did not wish that silly woman to die.
In the end, it's a case of mistaken identity. The young woman's dad took off his glasses and intended to shoot one of his daughter's suitors, but the suitor's blue coat looked a lot like his daughter's blue dress. He shot his daughter by mistake.
She was far too sensible to have such ridiculous ideas in her head independently. You changed her. You preyed upon her. You are an evil and dishonest man. You took my daughter away from me.
Todd Sherwood plays the dead woman's father and accidental murderer.
Well, one of the things that they typically tell actors is don't break the fourth wall. In other words, you're not supposed to interact with the audience.
Sherwood says it's unusual, but exciting, to push the boundaries of performance with audience participation. He says the interactive mystery isn't different from scripted theater because it's still about identifying a character and how they'll react to the situations they're thrown into. That approach motivated how he interacted with other characters and with attendees who pressed him for clues.
Well, they were getting into it, and they're not afraid to come up and ask questions. And yeah, I want to go to one where I'm in the audience now.
Kim McMillan says the murder mystery is a major success for the library. She coordinates most of the library's adult programming and says the production began as a far-fetched idea and blossomed into a collaborative production. Soldotna businesses Lucy's Market and AK Big Sipper donated prizes and refreshments.
It was very well received by the community, and we're hoping to do it again.
McMillan says the library strives to be a community hub in all the different ways that idea manifests. Sometimes that's being a source of information and good reads. Other times, that's bringing in other groups and providing the space for something exciting and new. Reporting in Soldotna, I'm Jake Dye.
And that'll be all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from Liz Ruskin in Washington, D.C., and from Jake Dye in Soldotna. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Have a terrific weekend.